Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. And what a weekend for exciting finishes in motorsports, both locally and nationally. And I'll tell you what, I am damn lucky to get to do the things I get to do in local racing. I saw two phenomenal finishes this weekend, three actually. And what a great weekend of racing. It was Thursday, a little disappointing with the rain out at Lancaster, and never really rained, but it was a business decision. You got to do what you got to do. But Friday and Saturday more than made up for it. Friday night at Ranceville, watching Matt Williamson, Eric Rudolph, and Mike Bowman battle for the 358 Modified feature win, and then last night at Jocasta Motor Speedway, Race of Champions Modified Series, seeing Tommy Catalano hold off Andy Jankowiak to get his first career series win. Speaking of which, Tommy will be on the show here this morning at the bottom of the hour. And also the Super Modified, the International Super Modified Association race, Chris Purley holding off Mike Lichty. Lichty trying a great run to the outside off at turn two with two laps to go and nearly lost the car. Just darn good racing. Got to see this weekend in person and then come home and watch the Cup race and see Kyle and Kurt Busch slug it out in an overtime finish, and Kurt Busch gets his first win of the season, first win with Chip Ganassi Racing, and becomes the latest winner in the Monster Energy Cup Series. He picked up the win last night at Kentucky, and just before I went in the air, Mike was literally doing, during Mike's update here at the top of the hour, I had the Formula One race on, so ESPN2 cut from the coverage from Sky Sports of the Formula One race in Britain wrapped up. So they went to SportsCenter or tail end of SportsCenter. I don't know, whatever version of SportsCenter is on the air, and they were showing the highlights from the race last night, and then they cut to a segment or a segued into this thing about notable brother rivalries or. Brothers playing against each other in sports. And the thing they led off with made me laugh because it was Wayne and Keith Primo fighting. Wayne Primo in his Sabres goat head jersey, number 76, just slugging it out literally with his brother Keith in a fight when Keith played for the Hartford Whalers. So that gave me a chuckle here at the top of the hour. But SportsCenter, hey, showing NASCAR highlights. How about that? But a great finish last night. Lots of great finishes this weekend. Love to hear your favorite finishes of the weekend. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Coming up on today's program, we mentioned Tommy Catalano is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Tommy got his first career Race of Champions Series win last night at the Jocasta Motor Speedway. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Coming up in about 10 minutes, though, you're going to hear from Joey Logano, the reigning Monster Energy Cup Series champion. Had a chance to talk to Joey one-on-one. We recorded the interview on Friday, so it's before the race last night at Kentucky, so it's more of a general conversation about his season and defending his cup championship, but still good stuff, and was happy to be speaking with the champ, and you'll hear from that in about 10 minutes. But Joey had the lead. Looked like Logano was on his way to win the race last night. Would have been a classic Fast Track win, because it seems like we have a lot of drivers come on the show and then they win their next race. Matt Williamson, Kenny Schrader both did that this year already on the program. But instead, Bubba Wallace spins out with about six laps to go, sets up an overtime finish, and Joey just got blown away on the restart. Kyle gets by, Eric Jones gets by, Kurt gets by. Kyle takes off three wide through the middle to take the lead, but then Kurt comes battling back on the outside and holds his brother off. leaning on each other on their final lap, and I think had it been anybody else, Kyle would have put the both of them in the wall, but instead, I don't know, I'm assuming that thought must go, Kyle must know he's racing his brother, and I think, not that he let him win, but I think he maybe didn't get as physical had it been anybody else, I think, to his outside, and maybe because it was Kurt that he didn't, I don't know, again, I think he easily could have put the both of them in the wall, and Erik Jones would have won that race last night, but instead, Kurt got the win over Kyle. Kurt Kyle 1-2. It's the first time ever, Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports pointed us out on Twitter, it's the first time ever Kurt Kyle 1-2 finish in the Cup Series. Kyle Kurt has happened twice, including this year at Bristol, but it's the first time Kurt got his younger brother in a 1-2 finish in a Cup Series race. Erik Jones finishing third, Kyle Larson fourth, Denny Hamlin in fifth, Clint Bowyer sixth, Logano wound up seventh after leading there and looked to be on his way to win. Daniel Suarez, 8th. Ryan Newman, good run for him in 9th. Chris Buescher, another strong run for JTG Doherty Racing, rounding out the top 10. Other notable names, Ryan Blaney finishing 13th. Chase Elliott, he had hit the wall, cut a tire very early in the race, comes back to finish 15th. Alex Bowman, 17th. Brad Keselowski had, Martin Truex was 19th. Brad Keselowski had engine issues, I believe, throughout most of the race, was 20th. Kevin Harvick out to lunch, I guess. He also had an uncontrolled tire penalty on pit road. He wound up back in 22nd. Jimmy Johnson had some issues. He finished 30th. Kind of a notable names in the field last night there at Kentucky. But really, the great finish kind of saved what was kind of a, I don't know, pedestrian race last night. Typical mile and a half. Nothing super exciting happened. The first segment, they had the Stewart Haas cars up there and thought, hey, maybe this is finally going to be Stewart Haas's night. You had Suarez and Bowyer and Harvick all up there at the front of the field in the first stage. But then they had the pit stops, and Kurt Busch's team took the gamble, went no tires, paid off. Kurt got the first stage win. Second stage, Kyle Busch comes up and, of course, during an NBC commercial, got by both Bowyer and Stenhouse to take the lead. I couldn't believe NBC went to the commercial when they did, because it looked like Bowyer was closing in on Stenhouse. They go to commercial, come back. It's like, oh, hey, Kyle Busch is in the lead. Here's what you missed during the commercial break as he passed two cars to go into first place. Kyle dominates the rest of the second stage. Third stage, things finally got interesting with about 75 laps to go, when it was Kurt and Kyle and Clint Bowyer racing for the lead. That was the race finally got interesting there. And then, of course, you had Kyle and Joey putting on a show. Would have been the battle of the race had it not been the overtime finish with about 20 to go, cycling through green flag pit stops, and Joey and Kyle were battling for essentially the lead once the field had cycled through on the green flag stops. They were technically, I think, second and third at the time. But the great battle there. Some contact. Both got Joey almost lost it at one point on the apron. And instead, Joey got the lead and again took off. Looked like he was gone. And then Bubba spins with six to go and sets up the thrilling overtime start. So again, a great finish. Saves was an uneventful race. At least the first two-thirds was uneventful. And, you know, NASCAR gets to tout the aero package for another week with great passing. And, yeah, it's great on short runs and restarts. It looks phenomenal. But the long run still, you know, we saw Kyle just kind of blow everybody's doors off in that second stage. But good finish, exciting finish. And Kurt is your latest winner in the Cup Series. And a little redemption for Kurt Busch, of course, after last week at Daytona, the Coke Zero 400 Daytona last week, getting rain delayed to Sunday, and then they finally get the race going on Sunday, and then Austin Dillon leading, and he tangles, I remember now who was, Clint Bowyer was running second, Austin Dillon trying to block Bowyer, Dillon runs out of talent again, and wrecks literally half the field, 17 cars. Kurt Busch gets through the carnage, takes the lead, the rain comes, and so they're rolling under caution, and then the rain is coming in, so everybody's, you know, driving over their heads because they know it could rain at any minute, and they know that the race could be complete because we were past the second stage, so everybody was racing every lap like it was the last lap. The wreck happens, Kurt's got the lead, the thunder hits the track right before they're about to restart, lightning hits near the track just before they're to go back to green, and Kurt comes down pit road thinking the race is going to get restarted. He loses the race because of that decision. Gets, you know, the call by NASCAR to make the call because lightning struck within 8 miles of the track. they bring the cars down pit road, it rains, and they never get the restarted, and freaking Justin Haley and Spire Motorsports wins the race last week at Daytona, and I get it. Rain-shortened races produce crazy winners. It happens. I'm sorry. It was still a major embarrassment, I thought, for Justin Haley and the 77 team to win that race last week. I know, there's a vocal minority in the NASCAR media, and when they, you know, like to point things out and give their side of the story, the, guess you could say, mainstream NASCAR media loves to trample down on them and say that they're wrong, and it really gets ugly. But there's you know, got people like Matt Weaver, Nick Bromberg that we've had on this show before, you know, were voicing their opinion how this wasn't a great look for the 77 team to win, and a lot of more media members that have been around the sport longer and are on the beat and may even be employed by NASCAR in some way, you know, telling them that they're wrong almost. But this Spire Motorsports team, this same team that won last week at Daytona last night, had Quinn Huff, who I still have no idea who he is. He finished 9 laps down in 34th last night, and they won last week at Daytona. Again, they lucked into it. They stayed out there. That's not the part I have the problem with, but the fact that basically a field filler, the people at Spire Motorsports bought the charter from Furnish Row Racing last year. So basically they bought their way into the field, no matter how they're running very low-level equipment. They don't even have their own shop. They're not even, you know, running the same driver all season. And they just kind of luck into a win, and it really doesn't mean anything because Justin Haley's running for the Xfinity Series points or Truck Series points, Xfinity Series points. You know, they're not even going to make the owner's playoffs because they don't earn enough points because they're just a back marker. And they're going to just try and make money off of, you know, being a 34, 35th place team all season, and they luck into a win. And that's racing, I get it, but still, for a team like that to win, I just found it embarrassing, and I was disappointed with how that played out. You know, had it been Kurt Busch, he would have lucked into the win too, because he would have gotten through the field when that big crash happened, and then the rain would have hit. He would have won. But they're a full time. They won last night. They're a full time team. They put in the effort every week. It would have been, I guess you could say, a little more deserving than a team that is, since they can't have starting parkers anymore, half a step up from being a starting park team, really, with the Spire Motorsports team. On top of that, the conflicts of interest with just the Spire Motorsports or Spire Marketing, whatever their name is, being involved as a team owner when they represent other drivers in the sport. They're agents as well, too, and that's just another part of it. That's not as people like the journalists that I mentioned that are a little more upset about this. That was another point they brought up, something I really wasn't aware of, but another point that really in any other sport, agents of the athletes wouldn't be owning a team in any other sport. So that's just another weird thing about this 77 team that they're in the position that they are today. But again, it's not like they broke the rules or anything, but just looking at everything behind that 77 team, I just thought was a little embarrassing to have them win the race last week at Daytona. But again, that event produces winners like that, where it's either, just a super speedway race where a lot of the front runners wreck and you've got a Trevor Bayne, you know, winning the Daytona 500, or you get a rain delayed situation like we got last week. You got both really possibilities that lead to these type of winners at Daytona. You had both of them. You had the big one taking out half the field, and you had a rain delay or a rain shortened race, which creates moments like this. But just out of almost any other driver in the field would have been the one to have won that race last week at Daytona. It wouldn't have been as many people wouldn't have been upset or disappointed or embarrassed for the sport to see that team win. So luckily we had that little palate cleanser last night in Kentucky. Good to see Kurt kind of bounce back. Again, he would have lucked into the win too, but still stinks for him that they decided to come down pit road. They thought the race was going to restart. Well, it was going to restart, and then the lightning struck and NASCAR had to, throw a red flag, and then it rained, and they could never, and they almost got the race restarted once, and then it rained again, and they could just never, and then NASCAR threw in the towel because they didn't want to be there till 11 o'clock midnight on a Sunday after being there all day before. I don't blame NASCAR for calling the race the way they did, but it just again, not thrilled with the 77 team and Justin Haley winning last week. Really more about the team itself, not Justin Haley. Great, a great young driver. Hopefully he'll land a cup ride with a actual team that can run at least in the top 25 in the future, but still just left a bad taste in my mouth last week with how things played out at Daytona, and wish they would have been able to got the race restarted. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Right now, though, we're going to go back to Friday and had a chance to chat with Joey Logano, the reigning 2018 Cup Series champion, current points leader here in 2019 in the Monster Energy Cup Series. Didn't get a great run last, well, he had a good finish in seventh, but thought he was going to win the race. But this interview with Joey is from Friday afternoon, so a little more general topics. Didn't get into the race weekend in Kentucky, but here is Joey Logano on Fast Track.
Well, Joey, about halfway through here, your title defense in 2019 with the Monster Energy Cup Series and two wins leading the point standings. But how would you assess your performance in your 22 team so far halfway through this season?
Pretty good. Maybe not exactly where we want to be quite yet. I think early in the season we had some really fast cars. We didn't capitalize on the victories as many as I'd like to. Obviously, maybe I'm a little greedy, but that's kind of how I am. And but I think overall we've been fairly consistent. That's why we see that points lead there, and being able to score stage points has probably been our biggest strength throughout the races. We've been able to score quite a few stage points, so. I want to try to continue that and try to get this regular season championship after just the first 26 races, hopefully, and get those 15 playoff points that come along with it and, fire off into the playoffs with a little bit of a cushion. That's kind of what we're shooting for right now.
So definitely the focus here for the rest of what we call the regular season is you're still going to be going for W's, and it's really not any kind of maybe trying something out of the box or something, or getting something ready for the playoffs, but you're going to be going all out here through the rest of the summer then, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, with this new rules package, everything's outside of the box. There's not a box. That's
right.
Kind of how it works. So until we figure out, kind of a general area where we like to have our car at each racetrack, we don't have that yet. So it'll take a little bit to figure that out.
A lot of different drivers have voiced a number of opinions on the package, and I know you've been asked this question probably tons of times this year, but just for us, our listeners here in Buffalo, just your thoughts on racing the aero package through the first half of the season and how it suits or may not suit your driving style.
Yeah, I think, it depends on the racetrack, right? I think when it comes to mile and a half racing, I think it's improved it drastically, especially at particular racetracks. You think of, the Chicago or, Atlanta, Vegas. There's been a lot of really good races. Michigan, those type of racetracks, I think it's helped it, made it very intense. There's a lot of pushing and shoving. It's just been a lot of fun. The short track, I think it's kind of a wash. I don't think really had a problem short track racing before, so... everything seems it seems like there's definitely pros and cons. It's been a lot of fun for us, though, in general, just trying to figure out how to win, how to build a fast race car, how to, as a driver, adapt to the new rules and how do you win, right? How do you pass cars? How do you, work the restarts? What lanes go? A lot of it's just very new to all of us, so It's been a fun process trying to figure all that out.
Is there any experience you can draw from, maybe racing the Xfinity Series, or anything you can pull from that has helped you out this season racing with the aero package?
Not really. it's very unique. I can't say that I've ever raced a car that drives like this right now. So it's probably like that for the whole field.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different theories. You go to a racetrack and you think this, and this is going to happen, and you get there, and maybe two of them are right and the other one's wrong. And, it's funny to watch the first few laps of every race because the way a restart works early in the race compared to a restart at the end of the race, everybody adapts. And, what works for you early may not work at the end because everyone has changed their strategy and how they pass cars. So that's been a fun thing to just kind of watch evolve as the season's gone.
Joey Logano joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Joey, of course, coming up in about a month, a lot of race fans in Western New York, they'll be heading to Watkins Glen International for the GoBowling.com at the Glen. And I was looking at your stats, career stats from the Glen, and since you moved to Penske Racing, your first 4 years with Penske at the Glen were great. You know, four top tens, including a win and a second place. Last 2 years, though, you haven't had the best of luck. I remember that mechanical issue very early in the race last year, but how do you approach racing at Watkins Glen, and where does it kind of rank for you as a driver?
I enjoy Watkins Glen a lot. You know, to me, Watkins Glen is the speedway style of road course racing. It's very fast, very intense. You know, when you're out there, because you know, you go through the S's, you're hauling the mail, and then you get to, I call it the bus stop. I believe it's the proper term is the inner loop. When you get to that point, yeah, you got, you're on the brakes like crazy, and I call it the jump. Some people call it curbing, but it's a jump because the four tires come off the ground when you go over them. So it's a crazy racetrack. Very fun, very intense. It keeps you, you know, up on the wheels. Never a relaxing moment around that place. So I'm probably as exhausted at the end of that race as I am about any other, or probably every other racetrack. It's just such an intense racetrack the whole time you're out there.
What's the biggest challenge? What's the bigger challenge for you as a driver? The bus stop or that 90-degree turn one, the S's? What provides the biggest challenge for you?
It's the compromise. That's the biggest challenge for me is what it takes to make a race car go fast through the bus stop is, you know, kind of the opposite of what makes a car go fast through the S's and maybe the carousel, you know, and that turn one that you talk about. So compromising and prioritizing what you need in your car is the most important thing.
When you guys went to Sonoma, of course, they added the carousel back to the course there at Sonoma. Sometimes people bring up NASCAR running the boot at Watkins Glen to, you know, make that track even longer, run the full layout. Would that be something you'd be in favor of, or do you like the existing layout as is?
I don't care. Let's just go racing. I don't care where we go. I think it's not broke. Don't fix it.
Sure.
But, hey, you know, if you guys want to change it up, that's what we'll do. It doesn't really make a difference to me.
Last thing I want to ask you about, Joe, is your spotter, TJ Majors, who came aboard last year, part of your championship team in 2018. And TJ's from this area. I remember him racing what we call Cup Lights here at my home track, Lancaster Speedway. And I know you guys were just up in Rochester the other day doing an appearance. But having him as your spotter, how has that helped you out and just how important he is to the 22 team?
Yeah, TJ has been a great addition to our team. He's being a spotter is not an easy job, especially these days, and probably spotting for me might be more challenging than others. So I ask so much out of my spotter. I want so much information from him. It's not just telling you where cars are high or low or, you know, the basics. I want so much detail, every corner, every lap, about everything that he can see. And trying to put what you see into words as quickly as he does is amazing. I know I can't do it. I'm glad I'm inside the car and don't have that job. But, you know, that trust level that we have for each other, his ability to kind of understand what I'm thinking and tell me the information I need is probably the biggest thing, having that chemistry.
Yeah.
That's probably been the biggest piece. So he's been a great addition for our race team.
How long did that chemistry take to build last year when you guys started working together? Did it come together quickly or did it take a few races?
Honestly, I feel like it took half a year.
Okay.
To get to where, you know, where we are now. You know, every driver is different, right? And,
sure.
You know, he's fighting for Dale Jr. for years. And what Dale Jr. wanted, you know, to hear and was completely different than what I wanted. So he kind of had to get used to that. And, you know, a lot of the things that Junior used to tell him, I don't want to hear that, you're talking too much. You know, to me, I was like, no, I want to hear that stuff. I want to hear you every second. So for him to get used to that took a little bit of time. But, you know, now I feel like we're definitely on the same page.
Awesome. Well, Joey, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck in the second half of the 2019 season for the Monster Energy Cup Series. And hopefully we'll see you at Watkins Glen in about a month.
All right. Sounds great. See you then. Thanks.
There's Joey Logano, finished seventh last night. Looked like he was going to win the race until the overtime restart and set up a Bush Brothers battle for the ages between Kurt and Kyle Busch. But appreciate time from Joey Logano on Friday. and catching up with him and just getting his thoughts, especially about TJ Majors, his spotter, and just some thoughts on Watkins Glen and the Glen weekend quickly coming up here. We're just, I don't know, what, 3 weeks away from August 3rd and 4th. Looking forward to that. Saturday we'll be at Chemung Speedrome with the Race of Champions Modifies, and then Sunday, hopefully going to do another live show from the Glen. It's penciled in, but we're low on the totem pole here at Entercom Buffalo, so hopefully things will happen. We'll be able to do another live show for you live from the Glen for the Cup race, but that is to be determined. We come back, though, speaking of the Race of Champions, Tommy Catalano got his first series win last night at the Jucasa Motor Speedway in Ontario. We're going to talk to him next here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hey, this is Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Penzo Ford, and you're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thanks again to Joey Logano for some time on Friday. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Logano. IndyCar not far from us. They're up in Toronto today for the Honda Indy Toronto. Of course, we talked to the president of the Honda Indy Toronto last week here on the program. Race coming up at about 3:45 today on NBC Sports Network. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock, green flag at 3:45. Simon Pagenaud on the pole for today's race for Penske Racing. Scott Dixon will start alongside him. Felix Rosenquist, rookie driver for Chip Ganassi, a teammate to Dixon, will start third alongside Alexander Rossi. Joseph Newgarden is the defending race winner, current series points leader. He starts fifth. Ed Jones, sixth. Marco Andretti, Sebastian Bourdais, Spencer Pigot, Takuma Sato, top 10 starters for today. A little interesting altercation between Bourdais and Sato following one of the practice sessions yesterday. Apparently, Sato did not take a liking to Bourdais passing him, apparently, during the practice session on Saturday morning. Ryan Hunter-Reay will start 11th today. Graham Rahal back in 12th. James Hinchcliffe, of course, the native of Toronto, he'll start 14th. Will Power back in 15th. Colton Herta back in 16th. Tony Kanaan, he'll start last, 22nd today on the streets around Exhibition Place up there in Toronto. Again, 3:45 there. Formula One in action already today. The British Grand Prix, no surprise, Lewis Hamilton winning over Valtteri Bottas. The moment of the race, though, happened between Sebastian Vettel of Ferrari and Max Verstappen racing for position. Verstappen gets around Vettel. Two corners later, Vettel trying to overtake Verstappen and get the position back, and either Vettel forgets to brake or brakes too late because he plows right into the back of Verstappen and sends both cars spinning. Verstappen goes launching off the curbing, gets the whole car airborne. Luckily, Verstappen comes back to finish fifth. Vettel got penalized and he wound up like 17th, but I just tweeted that out during the break, actually. Vettel, I don't know if you saw the Max McLaughlin Eric Rudolph incident at the Super Dirt Car Series race a couple of weeks ago. It was similar to that, or any super late model race down south, it seems like, finishes with a move like that these days. But I don't know. He locked it up right before he ran into him, so I think he tried to brake, or I don't know what happened. I was watching here in the studio the end of the race without the audio, so if they did explain what Vettel was thinking there, I missed it, and I apologize. But I don't know if he just lost the handle or forgot to brake because he was trying to get around Verstappen. But either way, check that out. That is that's a trending moment this morning from the F1 race. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Again, last night, Kurt Busch getting the win over Kyle Busch in the Monster Energy Cup Series race at Kentucky Speedway. Exciting overtime finish after it looked like Joey Logano had the race in the bag, but instead winds up an overtime restart, and Logano sinks back to seventh while the Busch brothers wind up deciding the win last night there at Kentucky, and you know, salvage what was a less than exciting race, at least for the first two-thirds, but the final stage was pretty interesting, especially with the finish there between the Busch brothers. One of the exciting finishes I've had the chance to see, that I saw on TV this weekend, but I've seen two other great finishes this weekend in local racing, and one of those was last night at the Jucasa Motor Speedway with the Race of Champions Modified Series, and the winner of that race, Tommy Catalano, joins us on the line. Tommy, it's Dave Buchanan. Good morning. Congratulations, my friend. I know I got to talk to you last night, but again, congratulations. It's got to feel good to finally get that first ROC win.
Thank you, for sure. You know, came downstairs this morning, and the trophy was still sitting on the table, so I knew it wasn't a dream. it was definitely a fiery week to finally get the first one.
You and your family, of course, your mom, Amy, your brothers, including Timmy Catalano, races with you in the Modifieds. You guys have run a lot of races this year. You started back in Speed Weeks in February. You've been chasing the NASCAR Modified Tour this year on top of running the ROC Modified Tour. So you guys have put in a lot of work the last few years in general, but especially this year running a lot of races. Just how does it feel now for all that effort to finally pay off, because this is one you've been chasing for so long?
It's huge for us, you know, the amount of time we spend out in the shop and doing all these races, and you know, in the back of our mind, you know, just the more you race, the better you're going to get. And for a while there, I thought it was never going to come. You know, we'd been so close, and you know, seconds and thirds and shoulda ones and all the shoulda woulda couldas, and to finally have it all come together was definitely huge.
It was funny you brought it up in Victory Lane last night, but it made me think of kind of the cup race at Daytona last week. Justin Haley lucked into the lead and was kind of sitting there through the rain delay, hoping the race wouldn't restart because he would get the win, which did happen. For you, though, is the exact opposite. We had a rain delay last night there at Jukasa for the Great Canadian 100, but you were running second, so you had to be miserable during that rain delay.
Yeah, in my mind, before the rain delay actually happened, you know, that's when I started putting the pressure on Chuck. You know, I wanted the lead right there. And then, you know, if I was leading there, we could have jumped up and down that it was time to call the race. But it didn't work out in our favor as far as rain delay goes. And they were down there ready to call the race, you know, the 22 team. And we were on the other fence. You know, we wanted to finish it at that point and get back out there. So, worked out good in our favor that it didn't go back. Or it did go back green, I should say, and didn't end under the rain delay.
Yeah, once we did, though, business really picked up, because while Chuck had looked like some kind of engine issue, you also had to deal with the guys that finished 1 and 2 in that race a year ago on Patrick Emmerling and Andy Jankowiak, and you've raced with those guys. You run a lot of laps with those guys, and they were really hounding you during those last few laps.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I got out front a little bit there and finally got some breathing room. Then they told me that Andy got in the second, and that's when I knew that I had to drive for everything that was left in it, because Andy was he was back a little bit at the beginning, and I figured that he had saved a lot more than I did at that time, and you know, that's what the race got away from me last year, was going too early, not saving, and you know, when the rain started coming, I bailed on my plan and started going hard, and so I knew. I didn't want to let it slip away again, but those guys definitely race hard. And like you said, we raced them all over Patrick on the tour, even a little bit. It definitely felt great to beat some of the best in the business.
And then to do it at a track like Jukasa, I mean, you know, we run, you know, Lancaster and Spencer, all the tracks around here that we're so used to. But to go to a track like that you've only been at, you know, one other time, and a big, fast track, too, that's got to add to it. It would have been great to win anywhere, obviously, but just to do it at a premier facility like that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the whole place, not even just the track, but just the facility in general, was phenomenal. And, you know, like you said, we'd only been there one other time, and the place was really fast. And the only place I could compare it to is Oswego, and it's by far faster than Oswego. But Oswego is one of my favorite tracks as well. So going into the night, I knew that was a track that I thought would be on my stronger side. So it definitely paid off.
Tommy Catalano joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Tommy, winning the Race of Champions Modified Series race at the Jukasa Motor Speedway last night. Tommy, you've also been running the NASCAR Modified Tour full-time this year, and you've had some ups, you've had some downs. You got a pole at South Boston. You led the first lap of the season at Myrtle Beach, top 10 run at Wall, and you've got a nice little streak going here. 9th at Wall, 14th at Seekonk, 11th at Thompson, 10th at Riverhead, which is an accomplishment. How has that been going for you, going to all those different facilities and running on the NASCAR trail?
I think it helps us a ton when we come back home, and it's been such an up and down season on the tour. Like you said, you know, we got that pole, we let over half the race to South Boston, and we let a little bit of Myrtle Beach in the very first race this year, and then we kind of fell off the bandwagon a little bit there and strung out a few bad finishes, and now we're starting to get back in the rhythm again. And like you said, you know, we're back to clicking off some top tens here and hovering right on that top 10 border. So hopefully now we can take this momentum and put that towards the tour, kind of like we're doing with the tour for the ROC, and bump up, you know, start bumping on the top five.
And it looks like this weekend, Loudon is on the schedule. Are you guys making the trip out to New Hampshire? And I'm trying to think if you had run there before in the past.
Yeah, we went there last year for the race last year on the tour, and so we're looking forward to getting back this year. We got in the All-Star race this year, so that'll be some good extra laps to get some practice racing and with the drafting and stuff, and hopefully get us prepared for Saturday's race.
And then after Loudon, I'm going to assume here that your next race will probably be much closer to home. I'm assuming you've got July 26th at the Spencer Speedway circled on your calendar for the next ROC modified race, 100 laps at your home track.
We sure do. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to getting back there. You know, the last time we were there, I felt like we had a car that could win and got caught up early, real early. We only made it 7 laps. So I'm looking forward to getting back there and hopefully having a nice little redemption shot.
Yeah, we did 62 laps there back in May, but 100 laps, and I'm going to assume, I haven't seen the competition notes, but I'm assuming it's not a tire change race, so 100 laps maybe on the same set of tires. I'm sure if I'm wrong, a certain series director will text me. Challenge there, have you ever run a race that long at Spencer before?
It's been a while. I think my first 2 years maybe in the Big Mod, there was 100 lapper there, but the past few years, for sure, it's only been, I think, max of 75, a couple of something in the 60s, and so it'll be awesome to get back there and have a 100-lap race and kind of see who has something left at the end of 100. You know, it's something that a lot of people haven't done in a really long time there. So even with the two-rail cars, you know, no one, it's been all of 4 years since anyone's done a 100-lap race there.
And, I mean, of all the tracks to really cut your teeth on, Spencer is a great track to do it because you got to have a lot of skill to get around that place. It's flat, not a lot of banking. It's almost a little bit like a Martinsville, I guess, maybe not as narrow. But, you know, you've really got to be talented to get a car around that track fast because there's not much room for error.
Yeah, for sure, you know, and I think going into the Spectre race, that would be one of those strong seats, you know, just being so close and racing there weekly for so long that we kind of have that little bit of an edge on some of these guys that travel in just for these special ROC races. So I'm definitely pumped to get back there, and hopefully we can use that to our advantage and keep the streak alive.
Tommy, not only... of course, you race, your mom Amy races, your brother Timmy, y'all run modifieds, but then the rest of your brothers too, what they're racing too, even right down to 5-year-old Troy are running microds already right this year, right?
For sure, yep. Troy's running microds. He just picked up a win the other week. That was huge. We got Trevor in the 4-cylinder car, Ty's in the sportsman, and then my mom, Timmy, and I all in the mobs.
And then dad gets to do all the hard work in the pits.
Yeah, he calls the shots.
Well, Tommy, I can't be biased as the announcer, but I'll tell you what, I was very happy to see you get that win last night. You, like you said, been so close here the last couple of years. It's just always fun to get a first-time winner, regardless who it is. So that's always one of my favorite Victory Lane interviews to do when it's a first-time winner. And actually, I think the best moment was I stopped because I saw your mom running around the car, and I knew she wanted to give you a big hug. So congratulations, my friend. Best of luck at Loudon this weekend, and looking forward to seeing you at Spencer Speedway in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Tommy Catalano, the latest winner on the Race of Champions Modified Series, picked up the win at the Jukasa Motor Speedway last night in the Great Canadian 100. He'll be off to New Hampshire running Loudon as the NASCAR Modifieds are part of the NASCAR Cup weekend this coming weekend in New Hampshire, and then coming back to home, his home track, Spencer Speedway, July 26th, 100 laps for the Race of Champions Modified Series. That race weekend was going to be the Tommy Tony 110 when the question marks were over at Lancaster, but once Lancaster got that picture got put back together, the Tommy Tony went back to Lancaster, but they wanted to keep a longer distance race at Spencer, so that's how we got the 100 lap distance for that race on July 26th. I believe it's the 65th anniversary of Spencer Speedway, or 60th anniversary of Spencer Speedway, anniversary 100 there in a couple of weeks. So some exciting racing to come, some exciting racing this weekend too. To recap, we're going to do that next as we hit the local racing roundup here on WGR's Fast Track.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
We'll start with the Friday night action. Lancaster Dragway. Frank Melvasso got the Supercharged Bounty Hunters win. Mike Sapchinski in top ET. Bill Bigham in top 8 eliminator over Rich Yakos. I just wanted to mention Rich's name. Remember that from when I was growing up going to Lancaster Dragway. Hadn't seen his name in a long time, but good to see he's still racing. Reed Ricketson in mod ET. Mike Peters, 3 in a row in bikes and sleds. And the man, DJ Razor, getting the win in Street ET in the class he actually sponsors. Ranceville Speedway Friday night, you missed. What a race. I mean, the modified division in Ranceville has been amazing this year with Eric Rudolph and Matt Williamson and Mike Bowman. And the three of them went head-to-head-to-head in a great battle in the final 10 laps. Matt Williamson coming out on top for his second straight win. Eric Rudolph second. Mike Bowman led about the first 36, 37 laps of the race, but unfortunately had to wind up third. But an exciting battle as those three dueled through lap traffic, throwing slide jobs at each other on a track that was predominantly everybody running on the top side. But what a phenomenal race there. Friday night at the Big R. Corey Sawyer got the win in the street stocks. Kyle Inman got another sportsman win. Chris Leone won the Dick Wilkinson tribute race in the mini stocks. And Bubby Pollock got his third win of the year in the novice sportsman Friday at Ransomville. Saturday night action over at the Genesee Speedway in Batavia. It was Jeremy Wunderling scoring another crate late model win. Sarah Johnson in the sportsman over Cameron Tuttle and Zach George. Dennis Cummings in the street stocks. Cole Susie in the mini stocks. And Jake Bansmer getting the win in the bandits there at Genesee. Merrittville Speedway last night. Matt Williamson getting his second win of the weekend. This time he won the Jerry Winger Memorial there on Hall of Fame night at Merrittville over Mike Bowman and Ryan Soucy. Good to see Ryan finish 30. Needed a good finish this year. Brad Rouse in the sportsman over Ryan Ferry and Paul Gabori. Tyler LaFontese in the four cylinders. And John Couture getting the win in the six cylinders there at Merrittville. Wyoming County last night, Kevin Timmerman getting the win in the SST Modifieds, as I think he was driving for Ricky Knapp last night. Dave Krawczyk, another super stock win. Breyer Dills got a first career win in the four cylinders. Congrats to Breyer. Kenny Haina also getting a four cylinder win. Brian Hallett picking up the win. I believe that was in the six cylinders last night there at Wyoming County. Thank you to Denny DeLora for sending me those results over on Facebook. Really appreciate that. And of course, last night at Jucasa, Tommy Catalano, who we just spoke with, got the win in the modifieds over Andy Jankowiak, Patrick Emmerling, Chuck Kosfeld, and Scott Wiley. Chris Purley, the Rowley Rocket, getting the win in the ISMA Super Modified 50 lapper as he held off a hard charging Mike Lichty in the closing laps. And man, Lichty was a rocket there late in the race. Ripped off a 15.1 second lap. Again, two to go, turn two, tried the outside, and there had been a bunch of speedy dry put down in turn two early in practice when Mike Muldoon's car blew up, and I think that just made that outside line hard for the Supers last night because he broke loose, out of two. I thought he was going to spit it on the backstretch. He saved it to finish second, but a great battle there between Purley and Lichty. Dan Bowes, who won the race last year, finished third last night. Really, that event with the modifieds and the ISMA Supers, I think it's an underrated event on the local racing calendar, and you really need to check it out. Hopefully, we can do it again next year as Alex Nagy, the Hill family, and all the staff there at Jucasa, they've done a great job revitalizing that facility. They've got an event coming up this Thursday night, I believe, with the APC late models, and they've got, of course, the big $100,000 to win $1 million or almost a $1 million purse late model race coming up Labor Day weekend. So really need to check that out over there in Nell's Corners, Ontario. It's about, I don't know, 45 minutes south of Hamilton. Really, it's a straight shot once you get across the Peace Bridge down Highway 3 to get over there to Nell's Corners and Jucasa Motor Speedway. Coming up this weekend, I want to mention Lancaster Speedway Stock Car Program got rained out on Thursday. We'll try it again this Saturday night at 6:30. We've got the Race of Champions Sportsman and Late Models, Street Stocks, Four Cylinders, and TQ Midgets, plus Autograph Night coming up this Saturday night. So looking forward to getting back to my home track on Saturday to call the action there. Again, tough break Thursday with just a crappy forecast all week. We just expected it to rain, and fortunately, the lake just kind of broke everything up as it was coming across, and missed out on Thursday's show, but we'll try again this Saturday night with a great five division program and hope everybody comes out to check it out. That'll do it for this week's program. Enjoy the IndyCar race from Toronto, especially if you're on your way there or you're already up there. Enjoy the race today there in Toronto. Again, that's 3:45 on NBC Sports Network, and we'll talk to you next Sunday here on Fast Track.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.